माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाबा बा गिरिवारे दारी गोपी जन बाबा बा गिरिवारे दारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जनरंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जनरंजना जामुना तीरा वनचारी तीरा वनचारी तयो राध माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राध माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बाबा गिरिवारे धारी गोपी जन बाबा गिरिवारे धारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जनरंजना शोरानंदना ब्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जयो राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो रामो राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो रामो राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो रामो राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे हरे हरि बो जय प्रभुपादा जय प्रभुपादा
Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Akili Vishnu Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Charya Sota Sata Sisi Mad Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Akili Vishnu Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Srila Gorki Shodas Babaji Maharaja Ki Jai Akili Vishnu Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Sachinanda Bhakti Vinod Thakur Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai, Itai Ho Prema Anandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru N. Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 25. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vidyante Bhukta Purvani Balani Surabhini Cha Eshavai Surabhir Gando Ashuchino Vagriyate. In the Tal forest are sweet spring fruits no one has ever tasted. Indeed, even now we can smell the fragrance of the Tal fruits spreading all about. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Raksuran Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Trayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Sapadantikam Adananastanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Vilisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yud Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayamamala Bipsamandam Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Duki Anathanastam Prabhumasriyami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaidvacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadha Srivasadi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Udupi, which is the sitting place of Madhva Acharya, or the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. as I mentioned, they're having some of you were there on Wednesday. By the way, I will give class Wednesday at the same time. I'm trying to get oriented here because I just rushed back from the place where Niranjan Swami is staying, and every night we meet there for kirtan. It's wonderful kirtans, and today was so nice sitting there. Gauri Jampabu was there. He also did a dramatic reading of the Chaitanya Charitamrita afterwards. Jayadvaita Swami, Arsana Maharaj, Parthasarthi, he wasn't there tonight, Ranjan Swami singing, so I'm fortunate to get Sadhu Sangha because, as Jiva Goswami says, as the path of Janmarg, it runs along the tracks of Vairagya. The path of Bhakti runs along the tracks of Sadhu Sangha. As Krishna told Uddhava, the Paramaguyam, the topmost secret, Paramaguyam's topmost secret, that nothing can control him as much as a sadhu, a real devotee. So we get the association of devotees. That's our lives, because within their hearts are very, very wonderful realizations. And actually, just sitting and listening to Niranjan Swami's kirtan, the Hare Krishna mantra itself is imbued with his own faith for the holy name, and has a wonderful effect on the heart. I've been going every day to see Udipi Krishna, which is the deity that Madhvacharya discovered. And it's very nice. There's a temple complex. Within the temple complex is actually a house which Udipi Krishna rests in. It's very interesting. And the only way you can see the deity is through a grated window of the house. It's actually got nine, perhaps, it's like a grated cement window that has nine holes or spaces about 4 by 5 inches, and thousands and thousands of people are congregating here because every 2 years they change their acharyas. And I was going every day to get darshan of the deity, and today was the deity's diamond outfit. It meant the whole outfit of the deity was pure diamonds. rubies, diamonds, rings and pearls, just to attract us fools to the spiritual world. It was, of course, but when I was with Niranjan Swami and the devotees tonight, Niranjan Swami was sharing what he read, how Krishna doesn't even care so much for the jewels of Mother Yasoda as he cares for the fresh flower, Anamalya decorations of Vrindavan, which are offerings of Vrindavan. The forest of Vrindavan is offering all its bountiful opulences to Krishna in love. So naturally, you like to wear things that are given in such love. Of course, the jewels are also given by Mother Yasoda, but Krishna likes the durya, the intimacy, the equality, and therefore perhaps he doesn't as much care to wear the jewels. And also, as a cowherd boy, when you go out to play, who wants to dress up in that way? So, very nice being in the temple. And while I was there online, the junior acharya came in, and these are the people I explained. There's 8 villages, and they're chosen. The acharya is chosen by astrology. And when the acharya dies, then the junior one becomes the senior, and then the senior one, again, he makes a search, and usually it's a person who's only 10 or 12 years old. They're thoroughly trained, and I can see how fixed and sober this person was, quite effulgent, as he walked in. No one told me he was the junior acharya, but he was walking right by, and I saw he was, you know, some brahmacharis, and it was impressive. And then going into the temple, the people were exceptionally accommodating and nice. It's actually the mood of South India more than North India. Most of you have just been to North India and Bengal. But if you go to the South, I don't know exactly what it is, but the people are much more friendly and cultured and accommodating and very, very respectful. When I was in the temple also, I was just looking, you know, at these elderly Brahmins and people coming to see the deities, and their piety and the happiness that piety begins, cultivates in one. And I was just had a realization just about, actually I was speaking to Tejas Prabhu today, who came to visit me, and he was talking about just to solve even material problems, the importance of location. It means growing up in a place where generations and generations of your family have been growing up, and then your children growing up in the same place. And he just gave one example, and he explained that in America they predict, I forgot, 10, 15 years or 5 years, I don't know the exact, that on the elderly, they'll have to spend $48 trillion to care for the elderly, not just by homes, but the kind of medicine, et cetera. And that figure alone is enough to crush the American economy. And he was describing how in a proper society where you have location, where people grow up in communities that have been cultured and nurtured for so many years, you don't have to spend anything on that. It's all accommodated within the community itself, the care for the elderly, et cetera. He's explaining how many of these problems are solved by a society that you grow up for generations and generations in the same culture, tradition. It's a proper tradition, and how actually that solves. And I could see that in the people and their piety. In that sense, it was very, very humbling for me. Was first to see the deity and see the people. And then I'm going to just go on this Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha again means that you advance, like you associate with someone who's spiritually advanced, and you can actually see how they exemplify the philosophy in their actions. And then if you have a relationship with them, they may share their realizations of applying the philosophy in the world. And it was nice. I was talking to Burjan Prabhu, and he's just talking about the essence of Krishna conscious philosophy is simply to be in the mood of the servant of the spiritual master. And he told me an interesting thing. He said, you know, he was reading years ago, and what Prabhupada said, the essence of spiritual life is to be sent dedicated, you know, to the, you know, the mission of the spiritual master or something like that, or the is to serve the spiritual master with, you know, faith and devotion. And then he said to me, he said, yes, now I, he said, after so many years, I've realized what this means. He said he was reading the statement that the essence of spiritual life is to be, you know, 100% dedicated to the service of the spiritual master. He said, yeah, after so many years, I realize what this means. I said, what? He said, what it means is that the essence of spiritual life is that we should be 100% dedicated to the spiritual master in that mood of servant. In other words, he just repeated the same thing because it's a simple point, but it's so profound. And this is the essence of spiritual life, that one is in the mood that he's a servant of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada's representative, and the Guru Parampara, that he's a servant. And he therefore he's thinking of their desire, and he's in that mood himself of priti. Priti means the desire to please. And when I was doing the kirtan today, and I was looking around the kirtan, and I looked at Jayadvaita Maharaj, and I was watching him every day and to see how deep he was into the kirtan. And I looked at Varsana Maharaj, and I was looking at him, and I was seeing how deep he was into the kirtan. I was looking at Burijan Prabhu, and how deep he was into the kirtan. I was looking at Niranjan Swami singing, how deep he was into the kirtan. And I was understanding, just by looking at them, how much they are servants of their spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and how much their whole life is guided by that principle, and how much that is the essence and core of spiritual life. Because spiritual life means to transform the consciousness. And what is the transformation of the consciousness? Transformation means to change from one thing to another. So you're changing, and this is all yoga systems, you're changing from ahankara, a false ego, the conception of ahankara, I am the doer, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, and you're transforming. Spiritual life means to transform that consciousness to a consciousness of love, from selfishness to selflessness, that I am the servant of Guru and Krishna in the heart, and that's spiritual consciousness. And one who has that deep conception in his heart, he is spiritually advanced, and he's on the path of spiritual advancement, and he's cultivating the mood of the Brijvasis, Because if you'll read, and we're reading in the 10th canto, if there's one thing that's so evident in all the pastimes, is that the Brijvasis and the devotees, they're simply in the mood of servant. They're completely focused on the desires and pleasure of Krishna. So this is the essence of spiritual life. And if we can cultivate this, and this is what Prabhupada communicated so clearly. And how did he communicate it? Because he exemplified it. One time Srila Prabhupada was in his room, and he was in Calcutta, and this was told to me by one of my god brothers. And Prabhupada was thinking, how was I so fortunate? Fortunate how? That he was able to carry out the mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he was thinking, how was I so fortunate? How was I so fortunate? And he was thinking, because so many of his god brothers were very, very powerful, exalted, many of them from high-class Brahmin families, and they were learned, they were managers, they had all powerful qualities. It was a spiritual all-star team, the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the type of youth he was attracting and training in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada, you know, he wasn't a sannyasi, he was living outside, he wasn't from a Brahmin family. He's thinking, how did I be? And then Prabhupada said, I was sent to send faithful to the order of my spiritual master. It's a simple principle, but by adhering to this principle, one is adhering to the core principle of transformation of consciousness. And he's adhering to the core principle that is the consciousness of the spiritual world, that I am a servant, and therefore my pleasure is the pleasure of the one I love and want to please. That is my happiness. And I'm seeing, and I feel fortunate just to watch these souls, because I'm seeing so carefully how they only move according to that principle, and how it's such a powerful spiritual principle. I guess we can go on to the pastime a little bit here, the killing of Dainakasura. I have to say, these classes, the schedule here is not my Vrindavan study schedule. It's quite hectic and busy, but I still think that I've remembered this wonderful pastime. So remember, Krishna is coming into the forest of Vrindavan. And please, dear devotees, put on your smaran hats and see what you can remember of Krishna. Krishna is blowing the flute. And remember, the flute is even ordinary musical instruments, they're meant to express the heart. And that's why Krishna plays the flute, because Krishna is the intimate and full manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is at home. He's himself. He can fully manifest his heart to his intimate devotees. And one of the ways he does this is by his flute. And the flute expresses his love, and the flute expresses his joy. It communicates his love to his devotees, and it expresses his joy at seeing the love of his devotees. So his whole pastime, and many pastimes of Krishna's pastimes, begin when he blows his flute. And of those two reasons, he's expressing his love for Vrindavan, which is his internal potency. It expresses his innermost desire to give him pleasure by offering a playground and a facility to have loving pastimes with his devotees, which is the ultimate reality, the ultimate eternal reality, Rasa Vai Saha. So Krishna is blowing his flute, his transcendental flute, to express his joy and express also to the forest of Vrindavan that he's ready to enjoy his pastimes. And we saw, I don't have to repeat it, that beautiful scene of Krishna coming to Vrindavan and the whole forest of Vrindavan moving in very wonderful ways to create the most pleasant atmosphere. Pleasant atmosphere means enchanting and wonderful and delightful and tasteful things for all the senses. Wonderful atmosphere means enlivening sounds and beautiful sounds and beautiful sights and wonderful fragrances and breezes. So many wonderful things. Vayuna Jastam, the wind lovingly blowing over the lakes to offer its sweet fragrances to Krishna, and the cool droplets of water and the crystal clear lakes satisfying his mind, and the opulent trees. I think I can repeat this even though I do it every week. Why not? Because it's transcendental, and the more we hear about it, perhaps the more we can enter into it. And the beautiful trees with their opulences and beautiful flowers bowing down to Krishna's lotus feet, and the peacocks offering their beautiful sight of their flowers and dance. And remember, we're remembering Krishna, we're remembering his mood, we're remembering his dress, remember his golden garment. And when Krishna is going through the forest path, the soft forest path, and the cows before him, and he's blowing his flute, are you hearing the flute? Are you hearing the birds singing beautifully in response to his flute? And you're hearing the soft trampling of the cow. We can go to each of these pastimes, and we can have one class on what do you hear in these pastimes. Have you heard the soft, the cows trampling through the forest? Are you hearing the blowing of the wind? Are you hearing Krishna's enchanting voice when he's rumbling like a cloud? And you're hearing the flute and the tune and the melodies. So Krishna's going through this wonderful forest, which is moving for his pleasure, and therefore it's the embodiment of Krishna prema and love. And it creates the most wonderful, conducive atmosphere, and therefore Krishna begins to exchange loving dealings with his friends, because he's with his friends now. And I just remember from the last class, and just as Krishna, so have your Krishna, he's going and he's behind the cows because he's putting his feet softly on the ground in reciprocation for Vrindavan and fearing that the Vrindavan land is being disturbed by the trampling of the cows. So Krishna's walking with his lotus feet, red tinged, and then his dhoti blows, because that wind comes out of the forest onto the path, and it blows his dhoti. And the cowherd boys just see this golden dhoti just moving to one side. And immediately, from their hearts, deep in their hearts, Kleena Sneha, with great depth, great emotion, the most wonderful from the ragas of their hearts, come the festival of song, glorifying Krishna's dhoti or his peacock feather. And then he comes to the forest and he's playing with his cowherd boys, and Krishna's enjoying. They make beautiful beds for him out of sticks and leaves, but Krishna enjoys putting his head on their laps. And then the cowherd boys start to sing because of the festival. And Krishna, although the goddess of fortune means the personification of all opulence, is massaging his lotus feet. Therefore, Krishna, being the object of all, the possessor of all opulence, Gramyavat, is living like a village boy. He's living without any position, so that there's no distance between him and the ones he loves. And there's so much intimate love. But to increase that intimate love, Isha Cheshtasa. Sometimes he does activities of Isha or the controller. And we mentioned before that these activities of Aishvarya in Vrindavan, of power, like killing the demons, they increase the intimate love of the Yasoda, my son, and his friends, my friend, and the lover, my lover, but they never see him as someone in a different category or class than him. They have complete mamata, complete intimate love for Krishna. But still, when he exhibits something great, their intimate love is so powerful, it can never cover that sense of intimate love. It can only increase it. But at the same time, when they see the wonderful power of Krishna, it invokes in their heart, dinata, utter humility, which is the basis and foundation of all relationships. Because if you want pure love, which means the pure desire to please, which means that you are willing and able and wanting to dance by the desires of another, you have to have utter humility. So this is wonderful. So now we go to the pastime where Krishna is going to be exhibiting. And this is the Leela Shakti. The Leela Shakti of Vrindavan, which is the pastime potency, it's Krishna's potency, but the Leela potency, it reigns supreme, even over Krishna's desire at the time. Just like we'll read about the wives of the Brahmins on Sunday, and the wives of the Brahmins, they're coming to Krishna in utter praying, and then Krishna preaches to them about his position. This is the Leela Shakti. The Leela Shakti wants to move the pastime to the position of separation and therefore have Krishna preach to them, distance himself, and send them home. So this Leela Shakti, it sometimes and it even overcomes Krishna's own personal desire. So this Leela Shakti, this wonderful pastime potency, is creating all these wonderful Leelas. So it's increasing. It's going to show Krishna's his power, and the coward boys are going to appreciate so much. So the coward boys, very close friends of him, they lovingly speak the words to create some virya or chivalry, which is a indirect way in which they'll appreciate his friendship. Because if you have a loving friend and you see him doing something very heroic, like a move of great strength, then your friendship will increase so much. It's your closest friend. And this is among young boys. And your closest friend does something of great heroism, great power, great strength, great athleticism. So they're so eager. So out of friendship, they're asking Krishna and they begin to describe this demon in this wonderful forest and how this demon, he's so evil-minded that although it's an ass demon and he's powerful and he's assumed the form of an ass, he's surrounded by many friends who's assumed similar shapes. And these are coward boys. They're telling him about this. They're telling Krishna about this great danger that's preventing the opulence of Vrindavan to be used for the service of Krishna and his devotees. And how these fruits, it indicates the season because they're so ripe, they're falling on the ground. And they're being guarded by this evil man-eating ass demon, and people are so terrified to go there, and even the birds are afraid to fly overhead. So we'll go today, and we'll lead some of this pastime, and you can try to imagine it. And not only imagine what's happening, but imagine the feelings. So they're explaining further, vidyante, present, abhukta purvani, phalani, there's never before tasted fruits, surabhini, and they're fragrant. They're fragrant. And they're so fragrant that surabhi, gandha, this aroma, the suchana, is spreading everywhere. And therefore, even where we're not, we're miles away, it's so fragrant that we even can taste this. I had one experience of that. I went to Italy years ago, and I became actually deathly ill. And I wound up in this hospital. And I couldn't eat for 7-8 days. And then on the 8th day, the devotees, who were so kind there, they brought me some fruits. And Italy is the garden of Europe. And it's almost like another, going to another, like a heavenly planet when it comes to fruits. And they brought some oranges in the room. And the oranges, they were so fragrant. I don't think it was just because I was sick, but one orange, it just was so fragrant all over the room. And this is actually what Vrindavan is. I grew in the courtyard of the Gurukul, a papaya tree, and it's like the first time I ever tasted a papaya. Right now in Kali Yuga, most of the fruits we get are practically plastic. But the fruits that are grown properly, and they're so, and they're meant. They're meant for exchanging love. And you exchange love by trying to please the senses of your beloved. So if you actually love someone, you try to get him the best fruits. And when he eats the fruit, which is so ripe and fragrant and wonderful, they say, oh yes, this person loves me. I'm tasting the fruit, I'm tasting his love, because he picked out the finest thing for me. So is it any wonder when there's these fruits that are so fragrant that the cowherd boys are miles away, that they can smell those fruits, that they have the strong desire in their heart that this is for Krishna. This is how our relationship should be with Krishna, our relationship should be with our deities, that we want the best. Why do we want the best? Because we have love and we want to please the object of our love, and we please them through the senses. So this fragrance, it must be agitating the cowherd boys, because they're smelling these fruits and they're not, and they're the demon is allowing them to rot on the floor. He wants to control them. And it's Vrindavan, and they're meant for Krishna's pleasure. So they are becoming disturbed. And they're becoming disturbed, why? Because they want to please Krishna at all costs. So they're describing to Krishna these wonderful fruits and how they're being exploited. So the cowherd boys say, Priyacha Tani Na Krishna Gandalobika Chetasam Vanchasti Mahati Rama Gamyatam Yadirochite. Oh Krishna, please get those fruits for us. Our minds are so attracted by their aroma. This is Mamata. Krishna, please get those fruits for us. What does Mamata mean? Mamata means possessiveness, which indicates intimacy and love. When intimacy and love is there, the desire of the beloved becomes the prime motivating force in one's life. And that desire to please the beloved transcends any etiquette. So out of love for the beloved, one can even order the beloved. So therefore say, oh Krishna, please get those fruits for us. But actually, we described in the beginning, this is also in the Wives of the Brahmins Bless, when they're asking Krishna, oh Krishna, you are the destroyer of hunger, which is the greatest of all evils, and you please you please destroy our hunger. It's only their way of making an arrangement so that they can go beg some food and actually give it to Krishna. So when they're saying, oh Krishna, excuse me, I gotta get something in my throat, 1 second. When they're saying, Krishna, please get these fruits for us, our minds are so attracted by their aroma. So the senses are there in spiritual life. They're experiencing the fragrance, but the consciousness is love. Our minds are attracted by this aroma, but why? Out of love. Because I want to offer it to Krishna. And it's the same sensual experience. It's not that you don't have sensual experience in the spiritual world. It's not that you don't have the finest taste, the finest touch, the finest sights, the finest sounds. But it's different. It's just like if someone is going to cook a big feast for himself, and he goes to the supermarket where there are vegetables and different things, and he's smelling them, but the consciousness behind it is selfishness. Where if he has a love for his deity, and he goes to the market, he goes to the bazaar, he says, and I went to this Udupi, it's such a nice cultural place, and they have these champak flowers, so I was buying them. I was buying them for my deities. And it says, our minds are so attracted. The word is lobika, greed. And what does greed mean? Greed means when desire is intensified to the top degree in such a way that the fulfillment of that desire, it becomes so much the chief motive, the dead, borrow or steal, you will satisfy that desire. It's loba, it's greed. But this lobata, they say we are greedy. We are greedy. We have made greedy by this fragrance. We want it. But we understand what they want and what their greed is beg, borrow, or steal. Krishna has to be satisfied. Dear Balaram, our desire is to have these fruits, lobita, it is very great for Krishna. Our desire to please Krishna is very great. But because they're asking for themselves, they say, if you think it's a good idea, let's go to that Tal forest. Yadi rochate, if you think it's a good idea. Lobi, we're made greedy, but how can the residents of Vrindavan be made greedy? But actually, they're greedy. They're greedy for Krishna. And they want to please him. So they say, if it's your desire, evam surit vacha shrutva surit kriya chikirshaya prahasya jagmatur gopar vatao talavanam prabhu evam thus surit. Surit means what? Friends. And there's different types of friends. There's Sukha, Surit. Surit means same age. Surit. Su means good, and it means heart. It means the well-wisher. Surit. What's that verse? Shindata swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hijantisto yabhadrani vidanoti surit sitam. How does the process of Krishna consciousness work? Shrindata Swakata Krishna. When you hear Shrindata Swakata Krishna, the Kata of Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, the Shravana is hearing and chanting in itself, is very purifying of heart. Punya Shravana Hidyanta So Yabhadrani Vidanoti Saritsatam. Shrindata Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hidyanta So Yabhadrani. It's so auspicious. Yedanta Stoya Bhagani Vidhanoti Surit Sitam. Why Surit Sitam? Because Krishna is Surit Sitam. This is how we advance. Surit Sitam. Sitam means the devotee, and Krishna is Surit. He is the well-wisher of the devotee. So how do we advance? When we are chanting and hearing about Krishna, with the desire to please Krishna, Krishna reciprocates because he is Surit Sitam. He is the well-wisher of his devotees, Vidhanoti, and he cleanses our heart and removes the obstacles to his service. So here, Evam Surit, after hearing the words of his friends, which are full of love for him, Surit, to their friends, Priya Chakir Seya, Krishna reciprocates, desiring to please his friends. This is Krishna conscious process. When you offer something to Krishna in love, he reciprocates. Dadami buddhi yogam tvam yena mam bhupayanti te. And for us who are conditioned souls, whose desire is to go back to Godhead, when we actually tesham satatiyuktanam bhajatam prithipurvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tvam yena mam bhupayanti, when we actually worship Krishna with faith and devotion, dadami buddhi yogam, he reciprocates. Dadami buddhi yogam, he gives us the knowledge which we can come back to him. So prahasya jagmatu gopar, and desiring to friends, Krishna and Balaram, they laugh, desiring to please them. They set off to Talavan, surrounded by their cowherd boy friends. So Krishna took up the challenge, and with his cowherd boy friends, they head now to get this. Now, the purport is very interesting. Lord Krishna, why did he smile? Because he was thinking, how can a mere ass be so formidable? And thus he smiled at the petition of his friends. His friends are saying, there's this horrible ass demon that's coming to, that's man-eating, and birds won't fly overhead, and he's surrounded by other powerful ass demons. And Krishna, hearing the words of his friends about this great problem, Krishna is thinking, how can this mere ass be formidable? And therefore he smiled at the petition of his friends. Now, this is a beautiful point in the purport. Listen to this. As stated by Lord Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.28.32, Hasam Harir of Anat Tikala Loka, the smile and laughter of the Supreme Lord Hari is most magnanimous. Indeed, for those who bow down to the Lord, his smile and laughter dry up the ocean of tears caused by the intense suffering of this world. I think Madhvacharya actually made this statement. We've been in this material world since time immemorial. And he said, the amount of suffering that we've experienced, that the tears that we shed in disappointment and frustration could fill an ocean. So the smile and laughter of Krishna is magnanimous because he can dry up that ocean of tears caused by the intense suffering of the world. Just to encourage their boyfriends, he smiled, laughed, and went to the forest. Bala Pravishya Bahubhyam Kalam Sapari Kampayam Balani Patayam Asha Matam Gorja Ivaujasa. Lord Balaram entered the Talaran forest first. Why did he enter forest first? Because he's the elder brother, and therefore he was, whenever Krishna and Balaram, in the morning when they go out to the forest, you can imagine, I was just there, when you go to Terkadamba, you can look back and see Nandishwar, the beautiful hill of Vrindavan and the whole village. You can imagine how, actually, if you go on the top of that Nandagram temple, and, you know, they point out, you can point out, you can see all, you can see the road that goes to Mathura, where Kura took Krishna and Balaram, and sometimes you see those paintings of Radharani climbing on the chariot, grabbing the reins and the gopis putting their bodies in front of the chariot. There's so much intense separation because Krishna is going to lead Vrindavan. So every day from Nanda Bhavan, because Krishna, after he eats his breakfast, Radharani comes there to cook in the kitchen. Krishna has a feast in the morning. And then he goes out. His cows, we see those beautiful paintings. In Prabhupada's room, they have the bed where our beloved spiritual master passed from this world. And there, to the right of Prabhupada's bed on the wall are two incredible paintings. Prabhupada said these paintings are windows to the spiritual world. And one painting is Krishna sitting at Krishna and Radharani under a, Krishna blowing his flute, and Radharani there under a kadamba tree. And the other is that famous painting as Krishna and Balaram the cows are going through the village of Vrindavan, and the residents of Vrindavan are already feeling separation. I mentioned before that Vrindavan means that prema is flowing to its maximum degree. And for prema or any river to flow for its maximum degree, it needs an embankment of union, an embankment of separation. It needs two banks. And the river of prema needs the embankment of separation and the embankment of union. So when Krishna goes to the forest, the residents of Vrindavan, they're in an intense mood of separation. In fact, even when he's about to leave, they're feeling such separation. And the Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes how Mother Yasoda is running after Krishna and imploring him not to leave, or and then worry in her motherly love, because the motherly love is a nugraha or mercy, and therefore she sees her son as an object of mercy. And an object of mercy has needs, has weaknesses, is not supreme and almighty and all-powerful. She therefore sees that Krishna is actually in danger. Described in the Bhakti Sandarbha that when a Gaudiya Vaishnava, when he's worshipping God in the fire, he never sees it's Krishna. Because in the mood of a Gaudiya Vaishnava, of course we may not be that advanced, but the general idea is there. We think Krishna, he's like us. And therefore, if he's in the fire, he will burn. So Mother Yasoda is thinking like that. There's danger in the forest. And Krishna is going out to the forest, and she tries to stop him, and then she comes out again and gives him instructions, and she doesn't. And finally, she just looks at Balaram and said, please, you're the elder brother, protect him. So here, Bala, Pavishya, Bahubhyam, and Balaram, he enters first. And then with his two arms, he began forcibly shaking the trees with the power of a maddened elephant, causing the tal fruits to fall to the ground. Phalanam patatam shabdam nishamya sura rasava abhyadhavat shiti kalam sanagam parikam payam. So, I'll just read a few more verses today. Hearing the sound of the falling fruit, what is the sound of falling fruit? Is that there in your meditation? And Krishna and Balaram, remember, the cowherd boys had implored Krishna and Balaram to come to the forest, and now they're seeing their heroism, and there must be some appreciation. And then Balaram shakes, and the fruits are falling. The ass demon Dainika came forward to attack, making the earth and trees tremble. So, boom, the trees now are trembling as he's coming in great anger. Samitya tarasa pratyag vabhyam padyam valambali nahat yo rasi ka shabdam nuchan payasarat kala. The powerful demon rushed up to Lord Baladev and sharply struck the Lord's chest with the hooves of his hind legs. Then Dainuka began to run about, braying loudly. Sounds, these are also sounds of Vrindavan. Puna asadya samhamba apakrashta para raksta chanana aparo rajam balaya prakshipad usha. Moving again towards Lord Balaram, O King, the furious ass, situating himself with his back towards the Lord, and screaming in rage, the demon hurled his two hind legs at him. Satam Grihitva is the last verse, Prabhupur. Rama Yitvaika Panina Chikshapa Tinarajagre Brahmana Tyaktvajivitam. Lord Balaram seized Denuka by his hooves, whirled him about with one hand, and threw him into the top of a palm tree. The violent wheeling motion killed the demon. Now, there's more that happens here in this pastime. But the most wonderful thing, I'm giving coming attractions, perhaps we'll get to it next week, is really after he comes back from the forest, Krishna. And the scene when he comes back from the forest, it's the first time that Krishna, he actually, I mentioned that the significance of this particular pastime, which begins with the word Poganda, is that up until this time, Krishna was taking care of the calves. And taking care of the calves mean two things. They can't be far from their mothers. So when Krishna has the calves, he can't be far from the village of Vrindavan, only the pasturing fields. Now the cowherd men decided to give him the cows, which meant that Krishna can go out for the day. And when Krishna goes out for the day, three things you'll see. The forest of Vrindavan, which is where Krishna enjoys to have most of his pastimes. You'll see the forest of Vrindavan. You'll see the mood of separation of the residents of Vrindavan. As I mentioned, those two embankments, when Krishna leaves the forest of Vrindavan and goes back during the day, back to Vrindavan village, then out of separation, the forest of Vrindavan dries up. And the village of Vrindavan, which had been in the mood of separation, comes to life with festival. Every day there's festival. Just like when we love someone, we haven't seen him for a while, and after so many years we see him, there's so much joy in our heart. But that type of joy is there because in Vrindavan, what does it say? That a moment is 12 years or more. Because they have so much love for Krishna. There's separation from Krishna. So we'll see how that separation increases the love and how the love increases the separation. Therefore both union and separation are required. And Vrindavan, therefore, is always half in union and half in separation. In the morning and the evening, it's union in the village of Vrindavan and it's separation in the forest. And during the day and the late night, Krishna goes to the forest, there is union feeling in the forest and perhaps separation in the village of Vrindavan. So anyway, we'll probably stop for today. So we're going to see that. We're going to actually see that. And the third thing is, when Poganda means 6 to 10, it's finally he's a mature enough age to actually have mature pastimes with the gopis. So we can actually see in this pastime, for the first time, this is the first time in the whole of Bhagavatam, what are the sentiments? It's a beautiful pastime. What are the sentiments of the residents of Vrindavan in separation, including the gopis, when Krishna comes back from the forest for the first day? It's like a young child, he's going to go. Some of you mothers have children that are young. One day, they're going to go to school. You'll probably be happy. It's so difficult these days just to watch the children, but even you know there'll be separation. It's like that, Krishna. This is the first day that Krishna went to the forest of Vrindavan. All the residents of Vrindavan are waiting in great expectation. Okay, we'll stop there for today,